Mr. Mark's Classroom.
This is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership and childhood ministry.
Mr. Mark's goal is to resource you with tools, ideas, and a passion for leading kids to become lifelong followers of Jesus.
So let's get this episode rolling with the man that champions kids ministry today, Mr. Mark Jones.
Hey, everybody, I want to welcome you to Mr. Mark's Classroom. I have a special guest today for you because we live in a busy children's ministry world where things are going at such a breakneck speed that we're unsure, have we done this? Did we take care of that? And we're losing sleep. And I mean, our stress level goes way up, cortisol way up, and like it's crazy. So we feed it with chocolate. But the truth is we really need to get organized. And I have a dear friend, Paula Lawson, who is the children's minister in Blanchard here in Oklahoma. And she has really put to practice some things that I think are going to be very, very insightful for all of us. Let me just say, Paula has learned the hard way. She's learned the good way. She's done it the wrong way and corrected it, and made it the right way. And she is outstanding. What a guest we have today. Paula, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking me to do this. I appreciate that very much.
Well, as you just kind of organize your world around children and preschool and weekday and upwards, and I mean, you wear a lot of hats. Talk us through some things that you do to organize your life, your ministry, and that we might could glean from you.
Okay. Well, like you said, I have learned the hard way on some of these things. And I'm thankful that we have a God who gives second chances so we can get it right maybe just a little bit.
Yes.
I think for me, in starting everything out as far as organization goes, is organizing my time. And making sure that I start my day off with quiet time, with Him, the author and giver of life. That's where I need to start. When I start in that place, then I find myself better prepared for the things that may be thrown my way during the day. So that is of utmost importance, is having that daily quiet time. And Satan doesn't want us to have that. So if he can get in and mess that up, then he's got your day messed up. And so that's good.
Which I just have to say, you're a mother of four children and a wonderful husband, and you have a lot of demands even at home. For you to carve that out is a pretty big deal.
It is, and it's a choice every day, you know. And I'll be honest, I don't win every day, you know, in that area. But trying my best to get it done is so important.
Good place to start. Thank you for reminding us all, because I find that to be a strength for my day as well.
Yes.
All right. So you walk away from that moment with strength.
That's right. And then as I move into my day, obviously there are the things that need to take place, like getting the kids to school and stuff like that. And then when I get into the office, I have to make sure that I have realistic goals. I've been real poor in the past of having my goal list be a mile long. Well, that's not realistic. Those are not things that I can accomplish during the day. And so I have it kind of broke out on a task list that I have high priority, medium priority, low, or things that I can look forward to several weeks later. Even if something comes into my mind, then I can jot that down, but I don't have to get it done right then. So having realistic goals and then outlining the priority of those goals keeps me on track for the day. So I have a clipboard that has that task list on there, and I start new every week on that. So that helps me a lot. It's been a blessing. And my assistant, Tara Hensley, she's doing the same thing in her role. And so when we have our time, when we're coming together to meet, we can kind of say, okay, what do you have going this week? Okay, I've got this going. You know, we're not having to try and go, I got a bazillion things, but I couldn't tell you one of them. So it's helping both of us stay on track and be more effective for the kingdom by having those outlined goals in priority order.
That's really good. And, you know, writing them down, doesn't mean you have to act on it right now. Right. It's so smart to write that stuff down because your memory stinks.
It does stink. And
everybody,
you know what?
Everybody needs to.
Right, right. And when you write it down, it's somewhat freeing where you can be more creative because you know you've gotten it written down. You're not like, oh, I have five things I have to No, you've written them down.
Yeah.
So you're freed up a little bit. One thing that I'm trying to be more disciplined in is building margins in my schedule. You know, a lot of times, like you mentioned, you know, with the kids and the husband, the sports that I'm running them to, and then the things at church, I've noticed that I don't have a lot of margin for just a break, you know, to even go fill my water cup. And so, you know, I've been convicted about that a little bit. You know, when we teach children in the classroom, when you're talking brain development, we talk about, oh, they need to get up and move. You know, that helps them in the classroom, helps them with learning. Well, it's kind of the same with us. We need to make sure we're not just stuck behind the desk all day. We need to build in those margins where we can walk to the fellowship hall and fill our glass of water or something just to...
Or, you know, just walk around the outside of the church. It's amazing how much clearing that will do just to be out in the sunshine for a few minutes.
Just a few minutes. And you're right. I mean, it brings creativity back. And again, you're advancing kingdom work when you take just a few minutes to build in those margins into your time. I like to time block as well. As far as organizing my time, I like to say, okay, by 11 o'clock, these are the things that I'd like to get done, you know, and I'm going to save these tasks for after lunch. You know, having those time blocks gives me a little bit of feeling of success when I get to 11 o'clock and I'm like, yes, I just got to check off those things that I had time blocked for that. So that's something that I have found to be very helpful for me as well.
I want to mention something. I heard of a guy who was trying to time block on stuff. I'm taking notes, by the way. but he was trying to do time block stuff, and he had to get out of the office so that people wouldn't just come in and chat. And he went to Starbucks without a computer cord. Like, when the computer dies, I'm done. And like, I've got to get done before I run out of battery. And I thought, you know, that's kind of genius.
It really is.
It makes you just stay after it.
That's right. Talk about time block on a schedule.
Yeah, exactly. And you know how it is at the end of the day, like, oh, I got to leave in 10 minutes. It's amazing how many things you do in that 10 minutes.
That's right. That's right. I think sometimes we save some of our best work for that final 10 minutes.
Well, I think you're wise to say time block. That's a good call.
Yes. So moving forward, I organize my workspace too. If it's cluttered in my office, I am not as productive. So I like to work with a clean desk. It doesn't always happen, especially around vacation Bible school time. You generally can't see my desk, but for the most part, I see that hand.
Yes, me too.
You know, I had one of our dear childcare workers try to turn in her timesheet. It's probably been a couple months ago, and she said, I walked in your office and your desk was finally clean from VBS, and I thought you had moved out. So,
Isn't it funny how people leave things in your chair?
That's right.
They want to make sure you get it.
If it's real important, put it in the chair.
Right.
But it is a good rule of thumb to make sure that your desk, your workspace is clutter-free because it's just hard to concentrate when there's a bunch of junk on it. I try to, if I'm not using it and I'm not going to use it, to just chunk it right then. There's no sense in hanging on to all of those wonderful flyers that we get in the mail, the four Oriental tradings that we get all at the same time. We don't
every
need
every day.
We just need one. We don't even need one. We can go online if we need something. But
exactly.
So just those type of things. If you don't need it, chunk it because you're more productive without that. Right. And I also like to make my office enjoyable. I'm in here a lot. And so I like it to feel a little bit like home and cozy and inviting to even the kiddos that I get to counsel sometimes and their families. And so make your space enjoyable. You're going to be in there a long time. So make it where you enjoy being in there. That's part of organizing that stuff.
I think that's really good. And I have a little section of my office that a child could sit down and do some things. It's a little, it's a maple desk. I got it at an antique store. Nice. And one of the little chairs, and they're able to sit there. There's puzzles, there's books, there's markers, there's things for them to do, because if their parents are coming to chat, or older brother or sister are talking about Jesus, I mean, we need something for them to do. So having things like that's great.
Yep. I love that too. I've got a basket that sits down there with all those different things like you mentioned. And I think it's very important, because you want to be enjoying being in there, and you want folks that come to see you to enjoy and it be comfortable for them as well. And I file things immediately, because if I don't, they're going to walk off or I'm going to lose them. Yeah. So, you know, incident reports that get turned in that I need to save for a while, those go right into that file.
Hey, you know what? I've been discovering, and I might be late to this party, but I've got a filing cabinet, and I have learned that I can take a whole file of stuff that's important to me and walk it into the copier and set it on there and push scan, and it'll scan every page super fast. And then I have it digitally and don't have to save all that paper.
Yes. That's smart too. Something. I like that.
Yeah, that might be something for the future.
Right, absolutely. I may be even more organized than ever if I just start doing that. I do that with my receipts, my ministerial receipts and stuff. I do scan those. So that's very wise.
Good.
Very wise. As far as organizing our time, this kind of falls under that. Our virtual workspace, I mean, our notifications are going off all the time. And I think sometimes that's a distraction and a time killer.
Yeah.
And so even in our emails, you know, that little box comes up and you're working on something and you just, it's like squirrel looking at it. And
you're like, exactly, squirrel.
Exactly. And so, you know, even turning some of those off and having set times that you check your emails or check your text, you know, it'll help you be more productive and stay more organized.
Yes.
Organizing projects, you know, calendaring is so very important. You need to look way ahead. I think any children's minister is wise to do that, you know, to plan out a whole year and then timeline those big events so you can stay on top of it.
Hey, can I add something right here?
Yeah.
Because this is something where I'm living right now. I mean, for Mr. Mark's classroom and for me, like booking conferences and stuff, I'm already into 2019. And so I've had to like go and plan all of my church things, because I can't be gone certain times and be, I mean, so we're talking 2 years ahead. We're recording this in 2017, and it has been the greatest thing. My team has appreciated it, because we had to plan farther ahead. You know, there could be some changes along the way, but at least we've got it all out there. And then we did a great thing. My associate, she is so great. She bought a 12-month calendar on an erasable board, not board, but heavy cardboard, unrolled, and put it on the wall. And she put all of the events for the year on there. And then as a team, we chose a timeline. So 6 weeks out, this is what needs to happen. And all that, getting the word out and getting the art, getting a social media registration link. I mean, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
We mark the day or the week that needs to be done. And we mark the, so it was 6, 4, 2, and then the week of. There were things in each of those categories that needed to be done, and then it showed up on the calendar on the Monday of that calendar on the wall of what needs to be done that week. So when we meet, we know what part we have to do, and it keeps us, because we sat down and thought ahead, it helps a lot. Now the fear is not, you know, waiting for somebody to say, where's the link to that?
And right. Yeah. I mean, and that is so wise. I mean, I think that's something that early on in my ministry that I appreciated about how the VBS curriculum was laid out in that admin guide. It wow. had the timeline. And so that's kind of where I learned some mm-hmm. of that skill that you're talking about is like, mm-hmm. wow, that just helps you get so much more accomplished yeah. in a timely manner. And a lot less things fall through the cracks when you plan it out like that. And yeah. so I love the big calendar idea, especially when you've got several different people and there's so many moving pieces, everybody can be on the same page and be more effective for the kingdom.
It's true.
You've got top priority things that you can be working on and you can see things, okay, we know that's coming next week. You know, it just kind of helps keep everybody, you know, connected and on the same page. As you're moving through some of those things.
And you know, just like I do, that there are a lot of things that are reminded that need to be done that come through children's ministry, but it's not even a children's ministry event. For instance, the Christmas stuff is all being practiced. It's going to be presented. And so I wrote on November 1 of every year, reoccurring, that uh-huh. you have to remind the music department to make their childcare request.
Right.
Because they won't. They
won't remember that.
Honestly, they don't play well with others. So you have to remind them what needs to be. I was just saying something about the Easter Advent type of booklet that our pastor likes to write. And then he wants me to write the family part, you uh-huh. know, of how we could enjoy this together. Well, I'm great to do that. I love doing that. But he doesn't think to get that written in enough time for it to actually, my part to be written and it to be published. Uh-huh. So you have to like say, today, let's tell the pastor, we got to get that ball rolling.
Right. We kind of do. I mean, I think children's ministers for the most part are very organized and maybe the most organized within that the staff dynamic. And so
and it's true that those who are not organized usually have suffered and may not have even lasted because there's so many demands.
Right.
If you don't get that part figured out, then you will be faulted for it and blamed. And yeah. it's not pretty.
It's not sink or swim. So organizing is how you can keep swimming.
That's right.
I've already mentioned that I use that checklist. It's just a little template that I found online that I ended up tweaking that fit church ministry a little bit. I even keep my mileage on that. It's just a one sheet that everything for the week is on this one sheet. And so
you put your mileage on it. That's
I have a little. I have a box that there's mileage. I have a box where I write people that God has placed on my heart that need a card of encouragement. And so that was something that doesn't fall through the cracks because I make sure that I have at least five of those cards that go out every week. I have a follow-up box, you know, from Sunday's guests that come through. I make sure that I go out and take care of that. And then I just have a box that has the weekly task, which, I mean, it includes obviously staff meeting, preparing for Wednesday nights, little people staff meeting, which is our weekday preschool here, things yeah. that are every single week, you know, that's the little column that those things are put
so
in.
So as the week is going on, you keep writing things that you need to bring to their attention when it's time.
Yes. And then I don't have to make a trip down the hall to go, oh yeah, one more thing. I will take care of it the next time we're together.
You're so smart.
Well, I've learned from mistakes. That's what it is. Learn from mistakes.
But you created a form where all these things can live and just go to that one landing spot all week mm-hmm. long. And uh-huh. then you're set.
Oh, that's great. Right. And yeah. And then as you prepare for your staff meeting, whether it's church staff meeting or your weekday staff meeting, mm-hmm. you just reference back your list that you've had going on to see what do we need to cover in addition to what I already have on the list. Mm-hmm. And it's right there. So,
okay. Paula Lawson, let me just tell you right now that what you're saying is brilliant. And if you could provide me with a copy of that, like scan it and email it, I will try to put that in the show notes because everybody needs to see what you're talking about and they can make their own.
Yes, they sure could. I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, thank you. That'll be a gift to all of us.
You're very, very welcome. One other thing that I do that's very helpful is I have binders, just a 3-ring binder. I went and got coordinating glitter binders because it's fun, you know. But I have one that is dedicated to camp, one that's dedicated to ETC. I have a staff meeting binder, trainings, any trainings that I go to where we get handouts. When I come home and I want to save those because I've, you know, scratched down all kinds of notes, I want to be able to reference them. I have a training binder that I punch those and put that in so I can reference later. VBS binder, Wednesday night binder, and then also weekday binder. And how I use those is with staff meetings, that obviously doesn't happen in my office. It happens in the conference room. Mm-hmm. But I want to keep all of those things together so that binder travels with me. So I can reference back what we talked about last week if something came up. Just keeping all of my thoughts and things together in that same way with VBS. I have a VBS team. Mm-hmm. I keep everything in that binder. And so when we're going to that meeting, I pick up that whole thing and it all is there.
Right.
So I'm better prepared when there is a time that I'm meeting with other leaders. Those things are there and I don't have to tear my office apart looking for them.
Or the nice thing is whenever you've gotten that information and you put it in the right place, when you take that binder with you, you've got the right things.
Right. That
love
is correct.
It.
So that's something that I have really enjoyed. It's helped me be able to be better prepared. I know where everything is. And the glitter looks really cool on my bookshelf. So anyway.
I don't see me using glitter, but I really do like this idea. Really do.
Well, here's the deal. None of the guys are going to pick up my binder by mistake because it's glitter.
Okay, you got that. That's for sure. But the truth is, none of the guys have binders, so.
Probably not. So on my bookshelves, I do try to keep those organized as well. I try to have a row of books that I haven't read yet. And then the ones that I have read that I know I'll read again and reference often, I have those on a different shelf. That way, when it's time for me to pick up something new to read, I don't, have I read that one? I'm putting them where they belong. So I can go straight to the source. And I will also say if there's books that I didn't necessarily care for that I would never recommend to someone else, I don't need to keep them. They need to just find a new home. So that's something just to help keep your bookshelves organized. If you didn't love it and you can't recommend it to somebody else, don't keep it. There's no reason for it.
That's a great word because I have a feeling we always just hold on to everything and there's no need.
No, there's not at all. I have a spot on my bookshelves where I keep baby dedication Bibles, children's discipleship books, extra Bibles for some of those Wednesday night kids that come that have never had one before. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of my equipping part of my bookshelves that's where, you know, those things go out. And then I have a game portion, you know, when the kids come in, they're like, there's Miss Paula's games. So I have it all broke down to where it's really easy and I can come in 5 seconds and turn around with what I need and be back about the ministry on the children or preschool hall. So those are just things.
You're amazing.
So there's all kinds of things. You've already mentioned the electronic scanning and all those things and putting those in. I do some of that. And then also in a filing cabinet, I break it down to my volunteers and then paid staff and then our weekday kiddos, all the enrollment, they all have their own files. You know, just different things like that, that you have organized. It takes a little bit. If that's not your bent to be organized, mm-hmm. it may take you a weekend. Mm-hmm. But it's worth the time to come up and purge and organize, your space and how things are laid out. Mm-hmm. You spend an hour in organizing, and doing that, you'll have a minute. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Every minute that you organize mm-hmm. is an hour that gets you further down the road.
I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. Now, I will say we probably, because I've been looking at this, like, when would be a good time for me to do this? It may be that, like, the week after VBS needs to be blocked off as nothing but recuperation. When you get everything returned to the way it's supposed to be, including your office and all the things that have been gathered for so long, I mean, you almost have to create that margin to be able to do it. You're not going to turn around and do something else quickly. I have noticed, I'm going to mention this because I'm going to use it, but like December, it's music's turn. Like,
it is.
It's a nice, easy month for us. And and whatever I have, we're just kind of floating through it and getting it done. And mainly it's music's turn, and I love it. So I really want to plan all those days that I can get a whole lot of stuff in the right places and get me ready for whatever's coming next. So look for those times.
Right, because then the new year is getting ready to come and your office will be in order and in shape. And, you know, when you start looking for calendaring things, your office is ready for whatever is coming down the pike as well. You know, and it just is amazing how much more effective you can be when you're organized, how much more ministry can happen in your space if it's not cluttered and you're tripping over stuff. You know, it was around vacation Bible school time when my desk was horrific. And had a couple come in to visit, and I was embarrassed because I had knocked some things off my desk. And so, you know, I was convicted in that moment that this space needs to be organized and kept neat, because you have people that may need to pop in and see you, and they don't need to be distracted by you knocking over a big stack of papers that are on your desk or something like that. God may be doing a big work, and we don't need Satan to mess it up by all of our distraction maybe that's sitting on our desk. And so that was kind of a wake-up call to me to make sure to keep those things in order. And it's a discipline. It really is. But
you have to choose that for yourself. I recently heard or read, or I don't know, but it was said that the way that a person does anything is the way they do everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's the mindset.
It is the mindset. And so, you know, I just, you know, think it's important. As ministers, we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to make sure that things don't get in the way, that we are organized, we're well prepared. That starts in our office. It flows over to the resource room, which then flows over to the classroom.
Yes.
And even how we handle children. It starts in your office, though, in your chair, and you're leading that way. And so if you want classrooms that are ready for children, that aren't cluttered, that aren't busy, 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 you want teachers that are prepared, it kind of falls back on us showing them by
example.
You need
to model it.
We do. And so, you know, that's just something that the Lord has impressed on me over the past several years. You know, making sure that I'm leading by example, not biting off more than I can chew. And like you mentioned earlier, I learned the hard way, but God is gracious and we learned and we can do better. And so hopefully that's an encouragement to somebody out there that needs help in organizing. It's worth it.
It's an encouragement to me. I've taken incredible notes today. Paula, thank you. Your example is so stellar, and I appreciate your transparency and your honesty of getting to the place that you're at and still refining that as needed. I love it that you have such a teachable spirit, but I love it that you're willing to teach us. Thank you, Paula. What a wonderful thing today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, everybody, I'm so glad you could join us. I have a feeling this will be one of those podcasts that's worth listening to again and watching again, because there's such great information here. I want to just encourage you to look at all the podcasts and the resources on Mr. Mark's Classroom. Don't forget, when you sign up at Mr. Mark's Classroom, you get the free book download, and you can use that to share with your teachers and training them. I know it'll be an encouragement to you, a help to you. And listen, we're so grateful that you've joined us today. If one of the greatest things, like I'm going to just say my tip jar, if you will, for bringing such incredible people to this platform is that you would go to iTunes and just give us a 5-star rating and give us a review, because I think that it'll keep it in front of more people when they start looking for these type of resources. And I appreciate you joining us. Listen, your gift in ministry, your life in ministry is a gift. And we want you to go and make it count.
That's it for this episode of Mr. Mark's Classroom.
We invite you to leave your questions or comments on the show notes at MrMark'sClassroom.com.
Until next time, remember, your ministry to children is a gift with eternal value.
So go and make it count.